Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
I'm on the cage. Every foul wicked spirit in the host, the news.
20 minutes, that door of the day, on the news, right now.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'm TC Downey, and there's nobody on the air with me at the moment. I only see one guest hanging out in the chat room. But it's a fine Saturday night, and if you're here listening to me, that probably means you don't have much of a life. So, with all that being said, let's kind of move on with the show. Wanted to kind of drop for a second that the Wall Street protest began tonight. Pretty much been a significant media blackout of the events taking place over there. You can see some video footage and stuff like that around the internet. I think one of the places is called Livestream or something like that. You can check that out. I'm not really certain how many people have showed up to protest the one percenters, but it is interesting in my mind that for whatever reason, local media has decided to create an embargo of sorts. So, on to tonight's show. It occurred to me earlier this week, around Wednesday or something like that, that we are nearing the middle of September, and that means the ooze has another birthday. Now, the ooze was actually, I believe, started around the 22nd, 23rd of this month. The first show aired on the 26th, and that was in 2009. I thought it would be kind of cool to go through and just talk about the, I don't know, top nine shows. Well, actually, the first thing I guess I wanted to say was after 2 years, we've had 34,295 listens, 33,765 listens, and I guess that means is about 500 of you fuckers listen to the same show twice. So that's all kind of cool and whatever. That's a pretty big number. Almost 40,000 listens in 2 years. I'm pretty proud of that. Our biggest month was March of 2011 with over 4,000 listens. I thought it'd be kind of cool, like I said, to recap the top nine shows. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Coming in the ninth place was The Exorcism, co-hosted by Jason and myself, where Jason and I got the idea to play a little bit of a prank on you folks and pose as Pastor Bill, Pastor Bob, and we conducted an entire hour in which Jason undoubtedly proved his evangelical skills. That man might be in the wrong business. If you think he's good at tattooing, you should check out that episode. There were a total of 427 listens to that show, 22 live. So that's number nine. Number eight, and I'm kind of bouncing back and forth, so don't mind me, but number eight with 429 listens total, 24 live, was Satanic Witchery, co-hosted by Venger Satanus, And it was our first interview with Zandora LaVey. Now, that gets interesting because Zandora LaVey's second interview had a completely different impact. But we'll go ahead and for now, it's number 8. Number 7, with 432 total listens, 44 live, Jason Sorrell. This was the discussion highlight edition with Jason Sorrell. There was no co-host. It was just me interviewing Jason. And surprisingly, it also has the second largest live turnout. So, all right. Coming in at number 6 with 440 total listens, 27 live, The Collision of Currents, co-hosted by Avenger Satanis, and it happens to be the debate we held between Jason King and Warlock Asylum. So that's number 6. Number 5 with 459 total listens, 6 live, our very first show, Cult of Who, co-hosted by Avenger Satanis. Some discussion of the Cult of Cthulhu there, but again, this was our first show ever. I'm going to go ahead and take this caller. If that is, if I can get him on the air. Caller, just hang on a second. Looks like we dropped their caller. Whoever it was, call back in. I'll go ahead and put you back on. In the meantime, number 5, again, was Cult of Who, the very first Ooze episode. Coming in at number... we finally got our caller. Hang on. Caller, you're on the Ooze.
Hey, guys, it's FF. I just called to listen. It's a 2-year anniversary, so I'm staying up late to hear y'all.
Awesome. Well, guys, it's just me and my lonesome, actually, reading some numbers. I don't know if you were actually checking in, just listening by phone, or if that's the case, I can mute you.
Yeah, I'm just by phone. I didn't log into the chat room.
Okay, no problem. I'll just go ahead and put you on mute and kind of finish my list up. All right, thanks for calling. Okay, where was I? All right, number 4, fourth most listened to show, 461 total listens with 70 live. This is the second highlight edition with Zandora LaVey. This is a unique show because there were 4 hosts, myself and 3 other co-hosts, Born, Zach Black, and Dark Fool. And she handled herself really well. So it's interesting to see that this one came in at number 4. And it's also our number 1 most listened to show, again, like I said. Number 3, with 493 total listens, 27 of them live, is the Venus Satanis Highlight Edition, co-hosted by Zach Black. We got a chance to talk to Venus Satanis. And again... And it's number 3. Number 2, and this is kind of funny to me, with 594 total listens, 33 of them live, Nailed to a Cross, co-hosted by Dark Fool. And in that particular episode, we discussed the victim mentality in Satanism. It's kind of cool that the show's title alone has carried it to the number 2 spot. Now I'm going to go ahead and just kind of recap the first 9 through 2. So in the 9th spot, The Exorcism, co-hosted by Jason Sorrell. In the 8th spot, Satanic Witchery, co-hosted by Avenger Satanis. In the 7th spot, Jason Sorrell, no co-host there. In the 6th spot, Collision of Currents, co-hosted by Avenger Satanis. In the 5th spot, Cult of Who, co-hosted by Avenger Satanis. In the 4th spot, Zandora LaVey, co-hosted by Born, Zach Black, Dark Fool. In the 3rd spot, Venus Satanis, co-hosted by Zach Black. And in the second spot, Nailed to a Cross, co-hosted by A Dark Fool. And the number one listened to show to date, with 613 total listens, 42 of them live, The Character and History of Satanism, co-hosted by Venger Satanics. In that show, we had special guests Naga Shiva and Venus Satanis there discussing, the character and history of Satanism. So there we go. Thought it'd be some fun factoids to throw out there. And with 49 minutes left in the show, I guess the next thing I wanted to do was tell you guys about the worst show ever aired on the news. It was on the Fallen Edition. It was entitled Show Me Your Titties, and it has a whole three listens. Now, I've looked through the archive, and I can't actually find it, so I don't know if it's so short on listens because it was deleted or something. But still, I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, you go from having over 600 listens in our number one spot to just three simple listens, and apparently people didn't want them to show them their titties. So the next thing I'd like to do, kind of discuss what I want to do this next week in case anybody hasn't really figured it out from the video or just for me poking around or whatever. But over this next week, my goal is to try to schedule some kind of show, whether it's 15 minutes or 2 hours, with all of the people who have hosted or co-hosted on the news. The reason for this is because this 2-year run is not my success. This is not my work. This is the work of a group of people pulling together with similar interests to create an interesting medium for people to gather information philosophically, occult-wise. There was a period in time where we did some examinations of fictional work. These people really are owed a huge thanks. I can honestly say that there would not be a news today had there not been so many co-hosts willing to work very hard at putting together some really good shows for you guys. So in commemoration of that, and you know, not only that, but in my gratitude, I would like to get a chance to catch up with everybody who has co-hosted on the Ooze over the past 2 years with this next week. My goal is by Sunday of next week to have scheduled at least 15 minutes with every single person who's ever co-hosted on this show. My goal is also to put together some clips and stuff that might be aired sometime on the 26th, which is technically the Ooze's second birthday. So on the 26th, there may be a couple hours of just really good clips from shows from the past 2 years. You know, some stuff that's funny, some stuff that's deep or insightful, some of the ridiculous things that have happened here. I think that would be kind of cool. But folks, I aim this next week to celebrate 2 years and my gratitude to the people who have made this all possible. Some of the things that I'm looking at doing, I'm putting together a special side banner for Sim. Again, I'm going to try to schedule a time with everybody who's ever co-hosted on the Ooze. That's, you know, there's no holds barred there. There's nobody who would not be welcome back. I put out a YouTube video. It's kind of poor quality. I'm only looking at roughly around 80 to 100 views at this point. So I'm not really sure if everybody has seen it yet. I've had a few of the co-hosts actually get in touch with me and and start to begin to work on some kind of scheduling. I'm planning on nailing this all down so that it kicks off on Monday. So I should know something tomorrow night on the Outbreak Edition as me and Jason are doing our normal thing. All right, with that being said, I want to also hold a contest, which I would like to make the announcement of winners. I want to call it a Listener's Choice Award or something along that lines, but I'm looking for the best quote. If it was said here on the news, send it in. Send in your vote for the best quote. And what I'm actually going to do is if you send in your vote for best quote with whatever quote it is, I'm going to send you back a list of all the quotes that have been submitted to me at that point. You'll have a chance to either stay with the current quote that you've chosen, or you can select one of the other ones that other people have done and vote on it that way. But the idea is that I can catch one line. This is, you know, the listener's best quote. I thought that would be kind of cool. I also thought it would be cool if, we got a tally of maybe your favorite show, what favorite show aired, what you think was the worst show. These are the kind of categories that I would like to see get some kind of recognition come next week. So we have a week to do this all in. If you listen to me ramble, and I know there's at least 2,000 of you fuckers a month that listen to me ramble, at least. Like I said, our best month was 4,000. But on a regular basis, we pull in about 2,000 listeners every month. There is no reason why 2,000 of you folks can't come back to me and say, hey, I like this stuff. I mean, that would just make it very cool. It would show your gratitude for all of the people that do work very hard to put this show together, and I would really appreciate it. Again, tonight is open discussion. We can talk about whatever you want to. 347-989-1371. Call in. Let me know if you got a question, if you're on the air listening already. If you hang up and call back in, that lets me know that you actually want to, say something. Tonight, I think I'm going to make mention of, looks like everybody decided to come over and listen to the show. Y'all missed the top 9 and then the one worst episode ever. Yeah. But anyway, 347-989-1371, call in, open discussion. We can talk about whatever you want to. Hopefully over the next week we can, get a chance to speak with everybody who's ever hosted on the news. It'd be very cool, kind of come back, talk to them. But again, next week's running thing, your favorite show, best quote ever on the news. These are things we're looking to answer. And like I said, when we, and the answer, Rotten Biohazard's question, yes, even Derek Disha is welcome to make an appearance this next week. Every single person who has helped to make the Ooze the success that it is deserves the opportunity to be thanked for their contribution. It's just the way I feel about it. So, if he hasn't actually called in or anything by Friday, then I may have to dial his number myself. I just would feel really bad about doing that because, he's got a baby now, so it's not like I'm harassing him. I would literally be harassing the child, too. again, 347-989-1371. Open discussion tonight, guys. Call in. Let's talk about what's going on in Wall Street. Let's talk about maybe something that's happened over the past 2 years. Don't be shy. I got 39 minutes, and I really don't feel like just flapping my jaws over nothing. I didn't really plan anything big other than just kind of going over, again, what the top 9 best episodes were, which those of you folks that didn't hear it in the beginning, you're going to have to wait 40 minutes anyway to come back to it and hear it, so you might as well. So, here we go. Let's see. Bush, if you're typing, you can pick up a phone and call, fucker. Yeah, you typed that just in time, too, fuck. Anyway, 2 years, as I was saying, the success of this show is not been my own. It's all of the people that have co-hosted, and that's, you know, the whole point of tonight's show was kind of to say thank you. The whole reason why I intend to hold these 15 minute to 2 hour fucking special ooze episodes over this next week with everybody that co-hosted, so we get a chance to catch up with them, get a chance to tell them thank you, all that happy horse shit. I'm just smoking cigarettes and kind of chuckling because right now you're all kind of a captive audience. But wait a minute. I think this is Lehigh, so.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I just thought I'd call in and give my support. Not sure what we'll talk about, but I'm here now, so we can talk whatever you want to talk about.
What do you think about what's going on over in Wall Street right now, man?
I think it's kind of crazy. I heard that it's been a real media blackout, except for on the internet. WickedPup gave a link to a live stream from that. I hear that they actually, the government or whatever, actually blocked off a major area of Wall Street to protect those people. And so I'm wondering, well, wow, the government sure knows how to keep people cowed.
Right on. Well, I thought it was interesting. I saw a post on Facebook, and I can't verify the actual factualness of this, but I saw a post on Facebook that the local police department in the D.C. area, or not D.C. area, in the Manhattan area, were cutting chains on people's bicycles so that they had no choice but to leave because they couldn't leave their bike unattended and go protest. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, it sounds like a foreshadow to a police state. Maybe that's a little extreme for me to say, but it seems like things are going that way.
I don't think it's extreme at all. In fact, I'm kind of curious as to how much of that is actually fact and how much isn't, man.
Yeah, it's hard to say, especially with the crackdown on the media.
I mean, we're already pretty much policed. But now the question is, do we get the final shackle, you know, the physical actual restraint? Now, hang on 1 second, Lehigh. We got a caller, so I'm going to pull them on.
Right on.
585, you're on the news.
Hey, how's it going, Beast?
Oh, what's up, Rotten? Oh, look at that.
We got another one.
Hang on, guys. We got one more. We might as well go ahead and bring them up. All right, 661, you're on the news.
What's up, Beast? Dark Fool in the house.
Oh, what's up, Dark Fool?
What's up,
hey,
man?
Rotten, how you doing, man? How you doing?
Hey, how you been, man?
Good. Happy birthday to you. Happy 2-year anniversary.
Yeah, man. I was actually kind of chuckling because the second to most listened to show ever, you were the co-host of, man. Do you remember
which one?
A show? It was Nailed to the Cross.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with almost 600 listens and 33 live listens, that is the second biggest show ever.
Hey, refresh my memory. What did we do in that show exactly?
We were talking about the victim mentality in the left-hand path.
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez. God, I remember all the drama circling around that time, man. Fuck that.
Right on. Right on. So anyway, we got everybody on here. What do you guys all think about this fucking Wall Street shit? I'm really not. I don't know whether to, you know, go break into a gun shop and load up now or wait a couple weeks still.
My recommendation: go now. Things. I mean, we're on the fast track to the Orwellian nightmare, my friend.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man.
Mhm.
Lehigh, right?
85 is now.
I don't personally see anything, you know, really to worry about just yet. I mean, this is just one protest, kind of a blip on the larger scale of it, I guess.
Right. Well, we're not talking about the actual protest. It's the tactics that the being taken to deal with the protest by Big Brother that is concerning to me.
Just so you guys know, I'm kind of aware of what's going on. I heard a blip, but letting you guys know right off the bat that I've been super busy. In fact, I just took a break right now cutting and editing my response video to Jason Sorrell. So, I mean, and on top of that, I've got, as you know, Beast, multiple things I'm working on. So, anybody mind filling me in on this shit?
Well, that's the thing. You don't really know. We know that Anonymous had organized a protest that was to take place on the 17th on Wall Street. But there has been a pretty decent media blackout. I mean, it's not entire. You can still get information from the internet, but it's nowhere to be seen in local newspapers.
Good for Anon, dude. You know what? Sometimes, you know, when they're not trolling, they do some shit right.
Right on, man. Oh, wait a minute. Zach's calling in. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
Graybush, you finally found your phone.
Yeah, what's up, motherfucker?
Satanic International himself.
So, Beast, what do you think of Tuesday? Is that work for you for our show?
What's that? Tuesday's fine. The only time frame that wouldn't be good is 8 o'clock your time. Or no, I'm sorry. It'd be 9 o'clock Jason's time, so what is that? You're still 2 hours behind him, 7 o'clock your time. Other than that, the rest of the day is open.
I'm pretty sure I'm 3 hours behind him.
You're 3 hours behind me, which is 2 hours.
Zach, you and I, we're 3 hours behind. That's East Coast time. For 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right. You're only 2 hours behind Central, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Right on. All right, so,
if you want, we can do it on Wednesday. It doesn't really matter to me.
Oh, dude, it's fine. And you know what? I've gotten, like, six people who have all been, like, you know, whenever these days are good and they're not really setting it in stone, so somebody's got to lay it down first, man. You know?
All right.
If you want to do it like 8 o'clock your time on Tuesday, that'll be fine. That'll be 11 here.
Okay, cool.
All right, I'll set that up. You want 15 minutes or 2 hours?
15 minutes.
Or somewhere? 15 minutes? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good, man.
Cool. So, Beast, did you get anybody?
I got pissed off. I walked out of my job today, so. I'm
officially
unemployed again.
Oh, not smart, man.
Yeah, they were looking to get rid of me, man. They were only putting me on the schedule one day a week anyway.
So they were trying to force you to quit anyhow, huh?
Yeah, and they wrote me up for something really stupid. So it was like, okay, you get written up three times and they fired you, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be like this. Oh, then you're going to take me off the schedule? Oh, fuck. So. They wanted me to quit, and I had a bad night, you know, I had a fucking chip on my shoulder.
Right on, man. Right on. Well, that's good. We'll set up, like I said, Tuesday night, and that should work out pretty well.
All right, cool. Well, I'll let you go. I'll jump in and touch base with you. As you know, I don't get reception at my house, so I got to stand outside, and I got my beer in my house, so I'm going back in.
Right on, man. Right on.
All right, later, guys.
All right, take care, Zach.
All right.
Speaking of scheduling shows, did you get anybody for next Saturday spot?
I do not have anybody on next Saturday's spot at this point, but there's the every day, all day is open, so.
Okay. Are you open on that Saturday spot or no?
Yeah. What time do you want? You want to do Saturday night, like tonight?
How about like we used to, like the old, you know, the old school days?
9 o'clock show? Oh, we lost him. That means it's just me and I think Rot in that 585 area code.
Yeah, I'm still here, I guess. I got dropped there for a little bit.
Right on, man. Well, we just lost a couple of people anyway. Not a big deal. So,
what's your man?
Shit, really, dude. Just, trying to stay alive, watching all this craziness going on around me and wishing I could create a little more anarchy. Hang on one second, man. I got two calling in right at the same time. So we'll get Matt back on first.
Do it up, man.
And then we're going to go ahead and 540, you're live on news.
Speaking of a little bit more anarchy in your life, it's Betty.
Hey.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Hey.
Sounds good.
Can I make just one quick comment, and then I swear I'm done?
All right.
Look, we've been kind of dancing around, like, this police state term. Like, that has a definition. A police state is a totalitarian regime controlled by a political, secretive police force. Now, America has some problems. We're not totalitarian yet. Like, my ass is still walking the streets, so this is not a totalitarian state, you know. I'm entirely too content with my lifestyle. But what we are is a surveillance state.
Right, well.
And you know what? The difference is less than you think. You don't have to have fucking Gestapo banging down everybody's door that, like, you know, has interesting reading material in their house when you can use the tools of the surveillance state to their best advantage, along with propaganda, of course.
Of course, yeah. I mean, actually, I was kind of going to make the argument that maybe by textbook definition, but a physical understanding of it might be different. But I like how you worked it out anyway, so I'll just shut up. No.
I just want to say, like, I don't want anyone to be blasé. This is a surveillance state and, you know, really creepy, hyper-developed way. And the people in charge of running that aren't really clear on what direction they want to go with it. They don't know how they feel about the Internet at all.
Oh, no, on the contrary, they want to get rid of the Internet. If you look at, the biggest indicator of that is Fox News, Bill O'Reilly, more than anybody. Any opinion or any news source contrary to their own is a threat to them because, well, if you can't filter the news people get to hear, that gives them more power and more information at their disposal, not to mention a new medium in which to attack.
Fair enough. Thank the Lord of this green and black earth that, you know, Bill O'Reilly is not an elected politician. He's part of the corporate media. That's a very important machine. But, you know, what I'm saying is that Congress, our legislators, our president, are having a very difficult time making clear lines between what is protected free speech, what is, like, do we need a kill switch?
There is an article out there, and there are a couple of YouTube videos that have stated that the government has put down, I forget the exact name of it, but they were looking to create a channel that would be the official news of government sources, but also not making it look like a government source, and number one on that list was Fox News.
And the last horse has crossed the finish line. If you had not already guessed that Fox News was not a very serious news source, but kind of a propaganda infotainment machine.
Yeah, but it was.
And now there's an article on
the
internet saying. So,
right.
But I'm glad it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always felt like kind of a crazy conspiracy theorist, like talking too much shit about Fox News. Like, they're just Fox News. They're clowns. But I'm glad that's out there. Thank you, Matt.
The very documents that I'm saying that point to this started in the Nixon administration, I think shortly before Watergate.
Oh, that makes it even more damning, isn't it? I was born in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not responsible for keeping track of every little thing. That's good to know. I'm going to get off the line.
Well, hey, they already kicked me off for talking about Wall Street. I mean, there was no accident. The Illuminati are listening.
No. or one of them called in. How many of us are on the line?
Yeah, there's actually, let's see, five total on the line. Well, with I think female Satan hanging in there and hold. I'm almost curious as to if she wants to say anything or if she's just...
No, I'm dropping off so female Satan can get in because, like, yeah, whatever.
Right on.
Eddie.
Right. Hi. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, I'll go ahead and pull it up just in case she does want to actually say something. Wait. There we go. 615.
Hey.
Hey,
guys.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, the Wall Street thing.
Hey.
I'm a little floored by the blackout, and I don't know. I think that Anonymous is becoming a bit of a stronger thing than most people want to give it credit for. I mean, they've had their hand in quite a few things now, and this is, I guess, their latest little thing that they've done. I'm actually on that website. I'm very, very curious as how this is going to go with them. I think that they're, you know, definitely, I can feel personally a little, you know, rumblings of revolution starting to occur. And it's scary, but it's exciting at the same time. I would definitely say that.
Right on.
Yeah. You never know which way it's going to go with Anonymous. You never know because they're mischievous little bastards. You know, I mean, these are the same people that hacked Paris Hilton's phone. These are the same people that created a fake mail to Oprah Winfrey posing as pedophiles just so they can get her to say over 9,000, which was a meme they had going. I mean, it was just like, you know, these people do pranks. At the same time, they protested, like, the Scientology building all got together, wore masks, you know, after they uncovered and hacked all of this information that Scientology was covering up. So, I mean, they do some good things, but at the same time, they just do some, like, nutty off-the-wall shit.
Yeah, and I think they've got a lot of attention right now, which I think is,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I see their name dropped a lot more lately than I did before. I didn't even know they existed until, L316 started talking about Operation Onslaught, actually.
Right on. Sorry, I'm having a little audio difficulty here myself, but I personally don't see anything, even as peculiar as it's been, that Anonymous has done that hasn't been a good thing. That's just my opinion, but...
Yeah, I think they're raising a strange amount of attention, and I think that I don't know. I'm afraid that this next revolution is going to be worldwide as opposed to just a local thing. You know, I told my husband the other day. I said I can almost see how this would play out, which is that if you can get enough discourse in the United States that a new civil war is declared. That's when World War III starts, because nobody's actually going to truly move in on the U.S. until that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still have the biggest bomb, so to speak.
Right. It takes one person to light the bonfire and everyone else to grab their torch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, the government has the biggest bombs. We, the civilians, don't got shit. And if it's a civil war, we're the ones that are fucked here.
I don't know, man. Russia's
yeah.
been always quite kind about supplying smaller militias with nice arms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, arms is one thing, but I mean, but if we're fighting amongst each other, you know, that's a problem. We're using our arms on each other.
I only heard this one
yeah.
funny story back in the day of this guy who was trying to buy a nice nuclear sub off the Russians, and. He was later asked, did you want them with missiles or without missiles?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me get this guy's number so that we can build a base, like, underwater.
Underwater. Yeah, I do think that the southern United States in particular, I mean, they're highly conservative, and, you know, I live in Tennessee, and, I mean, a lot of people are pissed at the way things are going. I don't see them having any certain solutions. And that, Tim is hardcore always posts that, and that always really resonates with me is, okay, fine, you're mad about what's happening, but what do you want to do when everything falls down? And that actually, that always makes me think, because it's like, until we have the answer for that, you know, we're, yeah, there's a lot of shooting in the dark that's occurring right now, I think.
Well, right now, I think what's most important and what we need to prioritize is waiting out the storm.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think the only solution is to burn it all down.
Yeah, yeah. And
there's
I,
the beast I know and love.
And I would definitely agree with you. I think that we're hitting a point where, you know, like, I can read the, you know, and I'm an American, and I do, I will admit that I do view everything through an American filter, and I just don't see where we're at as much of a reflection of where the country was supposed to go or where the direction that the Founding Fathers intended was. And there's a part, I definitely have this feeling of, you know, well, they revolted over taxes. It was such a simple thing that got those people pissed that wound up founding this country, you know. What is it going to take for us to say?
Well, the other part, if you look at history, here's another portion of that, the taxation and all that, that has actually repeated itself, is that it wasn't just taxation, it was taxation without representation. And are we, the American people, being represented anymore? No.
No. No. I haven't found, I don't think there's been a candidate that I've been like, this is my man, since pretty much I started voting. I mean, I didn't pay much attention to it when I was little, but I mean, there none of them really appeal to me all the way. I tend to choose the lesser of two evils, so to speak. And
yeah,
to me,
and
the parties just sound the same anymore.
And the one person that I really like, even though I disagree with like his a couple of his stances, you know, his conservative stances, Ron Paul. The one politician that I think makes a lot of sense is being blacked out. So there's another representative just being completely negated, but in a different sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's being negated
to
the simple fact that he's not as camera pretty, I guess you could say. He doesn't have that perhaps identity as maybe, you know, Bachman or that, you know, faggot from Texas does.
Rick Perry.
Well, first of all, Rick Perry and Mitt Romney being the two leading candidates, you know what? That's when you know our country's screwed right there.
Now, let me tell you, though,
yeah.
Matt, this is why Perry scares the hell out of me. In his state, he pushed to have these girls given the injections for the, shit, I can't remember what the name of the thing was. It had to do with the woman issue. He pushed for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the side effects that those girls have gotten are astronomical. Some have died. Some of them are now mentally retarded. That, and he pushed for that. That was something that the legislation in Texas said no. But he vetoed their decision, pushed it anyways, and got it through. Can you say sterilization and all that shit for us later? Yeah.
Damn.
And Bachman, she's
She's
the classic 50s woman, believes that a woman should be seen and not heard. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a great present if you ask me.
I
right.
always have a soft spot for women that try to run, though. I can't help that. It really doesn't matter what party is running on or what beliefs they are. And I know that is such a, it's a reverse sexism almost. But, you know, if Hillary Clinton had got in, I would have backed her 100% because the woman. And like, yeah, I mean, I know that that's not the way to operate, but I do have those feelings like maybe a woman's president would make a difference. So I do actually like Michelle Bachman, but I know that it has everything to do with the fact that she has a vagina and not necessarily what her political leanings are.
Right. Last time we saw that happen, we got Obama as president. So I think that's just a genius motive for you to follow there.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that, yeah, I don't know. It's a, and like I said, I know it's a woman thing. It's some kind of innate sisterhood, men's that sort of developed, especially for feminist women. But I do have it. I definitely try to, I don't know, there's always a part of me who's always like, yay, she's female, which is probably not the best approach.
No, it does
happen.
I would like, if you offered me a female with a brain who could fix this shit, then I would fucking totally vote for her, but it wouldn't just be because she's got a clam, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, beast man. Our vice president Obama made a huge faux pas here last week. He basically disrespected Jews in Jerusalem. Basically, what he ended up doing was he was there on a meeting with his family with him. He had his meeting and ended up leaving the guy at the hotel to have dinner with his family.
Right on. I mean, like I said, again, you see, black people did the same thing. They voted for this dude just simply because he was black.
Dude, he's not even fully black. I can't, what the hell? He's a mix.
Well,
he's half white, half black.
I did have that poll when Barack Obama was running, but I did actually vote for John McCain. But I actually like Sarah Palin quite a bit. I know she's not really out there, but I do like her. I think she's kind of badass. Like, I don't know, the hunting thing and those pictures. I was like, all right, you might not know where Russ is, but hell, she shoots moose out of helicopters, which makes her more badass than I am by default.
So much I could say. but you know what? I think on that note, I'm going to have to cut it short because I actually got some things. I got a meeting in 15 minutes. So I just want to say happy birthday to the U's. It's been a fucking honor. I look back on it with, fondness, and I hope that we can work something out for Saturday. Okay, Beast?
Yeah, we'll definitely see you Saturday, man. Well, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so that's done. That's in the bag, dude.
All right, dude. I'll be there.
All right, and thanks for your contribution to the show, and we look forward to talking, man.
All right, guys. Rock on the motherfucking ooze.
Right.
That one will end up in an intro somewhere. I seem to catch him saying that, so it's kind of fun. But, you guys have got some solid points, and to be honest with you, I kind of, in a way, feel bad because I just became so interested in so disinterested in politics for so long that now I kind of sit back and scratch my head trying to figure out whether they're just getting to be worse at lying or... If our, the gene pool really is suffering, but the candidates out there are ridiculous.
They're getting worse at lying, man. They're getting more sneakier about it. They're more willing to say to the general public this and behind closed doors say this. You know what I mean? It's not about lying. It's about being more sneaky and having deeper pockets.
But the thing is, I think they're getting worse at it, man. I mean, like, they used to be able to run some black flag shit and make America think it was all fine. Now they don't even fucking bother trying to tell us any bullshit anymore. You know, it's just, hey, starting next year, you're going to have to pay, for health insurance all the time or you're going to be fined and put in jail. It's just the amazing level of apathy that's displayed in my fellow countrymen, if I can even use that fucking term and with any kind of straight face at all, blows me the fuck away. Now, it's one of the things that I think is interesting about Ron Paul. I mean, you listed a bunch of reasons why you felt the media was blacking him out. Most of it had to do with his physical appearance and his posture and everything, but I listen to a lot of what the dude says, and he seems to be more supportive of getting back to constitutional ideas. And I think that's where the real problem lies, is that our current I don't know, corporate mock democracy that we live in does not want us to recognize that that Constitution does exist.
Oh, no, of course they don't. That takes away their power. And that's been a... I have political ebbs and flows. Like, I'll really pay attention, and then I get really mad because I'm like, you know, I've read the Constitution, and I've read the Founding Fathers stuff, and you clearly have no idea what you're talking about. And I do like the ideals that America was founded on, which is where my real division comes from, is, you know, how far away are we from those ideals? And how long am I going to allow it to go before I myself say, that's enough, no more, I'm done?
Right on.
You know,
I don't mean to cut in, but we got 540 on the air, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them up. All right, 540?
That's me again.
All right. Uh-oh.
Hey, Betty.
Okay, since we're doing the, like, Constitution and Founding Fathers thing, I have another comment. Look, I say this nation was founded divided in its values. Every side, every major political party has a very good line of rhetoric by which they can say, we represent the ideas of the real Founding Fathers. Well, the Founding Fathers fought all the time. Alexander Hamilton was shot by Aaron Burr, you know, and that was Jefferson's vice president. Like, it was very hairy back then, you know what I'm saying? So on the one side, you can trace a lot of, you know, our two-party bullshit to the same old Federalist, anti-Federalist bullshit. It's just, it switches sides of the coin. We've always had a struggle between corporatocracy and, you know, popular rule. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all, from the very beginning, there was a faction that wanted to keep the people from overrunning the government because, oh God, you know, we can have a democracy, but we can't have people running the whole government. Like, that's crazy. We're white folks. Like, what are we thinking? Some of us have property. And there were others. There were, you know, Jeffersons and Jacksons and, you know, other folks that they weren't as respectable as politicians, but they were willing to, you know, let it up and get a little populist. And I don't know. That balance has never teetered into too much of an extreme to fucking kill the whole American experiment. It almost did with the Civil War.
Right.
So where do y'all want to go with that? That's my two cents.
Yeah.
I got a couple of things that I actually like to tap on with that, because it is my personal belief that that divide does exist that you're talking about. But I think what most people are kind of missing out is at the actual turn of this country, most of the general public was irate and pissed off and adversarial about the whole deal. They were tired of the British coming over here and fucking with them and taxing them for whatever they felt like taxing them for. And I mean, there was a lot more shit going on than just the taxes, but with 6 minutes left in the show, I'm not going to have enough time to tap into all that.
Oh, no.
Right on. But,
can I say one thing, though?
Yeah, yeah.
The actual patriots, the motherfuckers that fought the Revolutionary War, they actually made the difference, were a tiny proportion of the colonial populace.
Right.
And when they made enough noise and they made the enemy come to them, enough people eventually joined up anyway to defend their homes.
Oh, right. I would absolutely agree with that to an extent. But the point I was kind of making was that the people that were there that kind of remained neutral, that weren't part of the small, that percentage of noisemakers, They were the ones that ended up building up what I now would call the corporate you know, mock America. Yeah. You know, they were already wealthy folks back then. They only had a hand in it when it was lucrative to their pocket.
Yeah, Jefferson had nothing to do with
yeah.
the writing of the Constitution. Sorry, I'm done.
Oh, no, it's certainly true, and I think that it exists today. I mean, I think that we have more of a consumerism culture than a capitalist culture or what can be considered an American culture anymore. I mean, people are so obsessed with their things, they sort of ignore what everything else that's going on, you know, in their world, so to speak. I've developed a firm belief that you have to start small. Like, you have to start in your own town and care about that before you start caring about your state and the country and the world at large. If you could fix just your town, you can make a difference, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good attitude. Just straight up. If you're thinking to affect change on a global scale, then you want to start where you have power, don't you?
Here's one good point. We actually sold our capitalism and outsourced it to China and India.
Oh, this isn't a I mean, we have neoliberal economic policies overseas, but, like, laissez-faire capitalism, that died. That died in the Gilded Era. Like, no. You only have to worry about serious laissez-faire capitalism where you have to worry about actual pirates in boats.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's the thing to me is that I don't get how most people view capitalism. It's like, to me, I always thought it was, okay, money equals power. So the people with the most money on hand have the most power, which would mean that we should all be, like, super insanely frisky if we were operating under that system, not, you know, going into debt and borrowing and all this stuff. I always think to myself, I don't know, I actually operate that way within my own house, which is, like, how can that dollar go as far as possible? But nobody else seems to live that way, and I don't know. It's just, to me, it's like I assumed that's what capitalism means in some form or fashion. And
I wish mindfucks were here.
Yeah.
Because money is not capital. Capital is the ability to, like, generate value. But you're right. We're a consumer culture, not a capitalist culture, because we've forgotten, like, the distinction between monies and capital.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go
ahead. And I'll admit that I don't know a lot about the economic stuff. I mean, I'm not very proficient in that. Like, I know the basics, like, you know, kindergarten basics of it. So I was like, to me, capitalism is okay. Money equals power. That's basically how I view it. And I know that that's not all of the intricacies of the system, obviously, because, you know, I don't pay attention to a lot of that stuff. I just don't. It doesn't particularly interest me, you know, and it gets so complicated, and I don't know, I just always thought all this stuff should just be way more simpler than it is.
The tax code should definitely be simpler than it is, and I'll tell you something, female Satan, I said, like, I wish mindfucks were here because I'm about to, like, say something about the distinction between money and capital, and, like, I may accidentally mislead somebody just because, you know, whatever. I just wish there was somebody to check me that really, really could. But it matters more how we teach capitalism at the elementary school level than what is known about capitalism in the ivory towers of academia. You know what I'm saying? It matters more to the political system as a whole how every public school child learns about money and business in this country and its relationship to government and freedom than it will ever matter what Barack Obama technically was made to learn at Yale. You get me?
Oh, yeah, right. No, I would certainly agree with you. What you learn in elementary school is what's going to shape you for the rest of your life, you know, and that's the thing is that I don't know. I don't think my kids even know what capitalism is, but I have to ask them if they've ever approached that in school because I don't think that they've ever even really learned about that. And I've got a son in the third grade now and a daughter in the second grade. So, you know,
they don't explain it. They just say capitalism is what we do. The other things are, you know, exampled by these other people, which you must understand are not very good, savory people.
Oh, yeah, well,
they don't teach what capitalism is. They're like, capitalism is like us. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I remember I took an economics class my sophomore year, and it was pretty much portrayed as capitalism equals the best form, and all the other ones are obviously evil. And it was like communism equals, and insert name of dictator here, socialism equals Hitler. Like, that's how it was taught.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I think there's more to it than socialism equals Hitler. I think there was more to that whole thing going on than just that. But that was, you know, it you know, there's such a skew, I think, in the public school system at this point that it's, I know that I certainly got it when I went to school. You know, I definitely got an infusion of ideas that were, you know, very much America equals right and perfect, and everybody else equals wrong and imperfect and evil, and stay away from all that because you don't want to learn about that. That's awful, obviously.
A lot of it is the city on the hill mentality. I blame mostly New England people, but it's not just their fault. There's always been a weird relationship in this country between, like, rabidly bizarre made-up Protestant sects of Christianity and capitalism. It's weird to mix Christianity and capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Most Americans don't understand that. It's really weird to mix that. But we just kind of, we've always had to kind of play along like that's the only way that makes sense. And so I agree with you about skew, like it's so skewed in the public school system, but I think I don't see that as like Big Brother deliberately moving chess pieces excellently and with good form. I think that's subconscious cognitive dissonance in our whole society. Because we're a deeply Christian nation, okay? I don't care what the Treaty of Tripoli says. This is a culturally Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very big on capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And we refuse to acknowledge mostly that's kind of weird.
Well, and I would agree. And I also think that, at least I've noticed, is that I think that, and the ideals that America were founded on are good, you know, freedom, liberty, justice, you know, I mean, like, these concepts are great. So there's an odd kind of patriotism that's sort of injected into the people because the ideals are good. And, like, you know, I mean, I certainly have on other forms, not sin, but, like, say something bad and people are like, but you don't like America? That means you don't like freedom. No, I'm not freedom. America at this moment, you know, I'm not disagreeing with the ideals that America are founded on. I think that odd patriotism because the ideals are good has been manipulated in a way to kind of get the people to go a certain way as a whole. And I think it's more of a series of happy accidents that have occurred that have caused where we're at right now more than, you know, some big hand, you know, manipulating the whole thing. Because I just think that's kind of Diablo posted something like that. He said, the scarier thing is that leaders have no idea what they're doing. They've been operating for the whole time, and there's a big conspiracy. And I was like, oh, no, that sounds right. That makes sense. Yeah, I agree with that.
I just want to kind of chime in here for a minute and mention that Wicked Puppy just reported in the chat room that they've rolled out the paddy wagons in New York City to enforce the curfew tonight. So
wow, you know, paddy wagon is kind of a racially sensitive term, Beast. I'm really surprised. Like,
hey, I'm Irish. I can use the term if
hey,
I
want. Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I acknowledge the history behind that word. I bet there's a lot of Irish motherfuckers down at Wall Street right now anyway.
Right.
About to go in those wagons.
Yeah, no, as somebody who's part Irish, I would certainly, yeah. It's, but see, that shocks me, too. Cause
how is it us three motherfuckers, like, on the way? Yeah, no. It's always Irish people, like, ringing the bells about capitalism. Well, not always, but I'm sorry. I'll post a blog with more specific links.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need to do that. I follow your blog, and not much.
Oh, I mean on sin, like where, you know, where everybody can see it. Like, I'm not talking out of my ass. Like, you know, broke-ass Irish people have a history or a pattern of noticing very quickly when the white man is fucking them as well with their capitalist bullshit.
Right on. Well, there's actually I'm trying to remember who said it, but there's a quote, if you want to win a war, hire the Irish. I can't remember who said it.
A bunch of motherfuckers probably at one time or another. Like, the tribe almost never gets credit for this, but, like, they marched with, like, Alexander the Great at one point. Like, you know, they don't usually make that misaction. Like, look up San Patricio's band, you know what I'm saying? Like, Irish helped in the Mexican Revolution. Like, we'll fight for money.
Right on.
Do you have an enchanting cause, and will you give me money, and, like, can I, like, not be in Ireland for a while and get to kill other people? Cool.
It seems to me that it was actually a Roman general or a Roman Caesar that said it, but I'm not really certain. I can't seem to find any reference to it on the internet at the moment, but I know my mama told me this, and it's got to be true, so.
Yeah, duh. I haven't even met Beast Mama, but I'm just folding on this.
She's still the only person I know that can correct me more than, a Sunday school teacher to a six-year-old.
Yeah, same here. There's certain kinds of criticism I only take in certain tones from my own mother. But, like, yeah, she'd back us up on this. She's asleep right now, but she'd back us up on, like, wars and Irish people.
It seems like if you want
to... Yeah, my father certainly would, too. He's very, very, very proud of his Irish heritage. It's actually so funny because, like, I'm a mutt, and he should admit that he's a mutt, but he's Irish in his eyes. So, you know what? I accept that. That's okay, you know? All the other blood aside, apparently the Irish was the most important that he got.
Yeah, you know, I notice what people, like, take the most credit for, like, how they choose to identify, because America's weird. There's no American ethnicity, you know what I'm saying? It's a totally different kind of country.
Yeah.
Like, the American ethnicity is not based on, like, a lineage or a race, you know? It's a political identity. It's like being a Roman citizen, almost.
Well, yeah, it's more of a my people settle over here during blank, and therefore they, you know, are American too. And that's something that I've actually personally taken on, is that I did that during the last census, which is actually really funny because the woman said, what race are you? And I said, American. And she said, American? And I said, yes, I'm American.
Oh, she's God, you do that. I love you, female Satan.
I said it again, and then she said, do you mean African American? I was like, if
fuck
you want
it.
To put that down, yes. I'm trying to prove a point, but
fuck
okay,
it.
Yes. Which that was even funnier, because I don't remotely look like a black woman, but when I said I was American, that's what she said.
Hey, but you know science. So, fuck it. Hyphenate that shit. Your race is African-American.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
I did that on all my kids' forms this year for school, which I'm actually fixing to put them in that K-12 online program, but that's what I did when they asked for race. I wrote down, I checkmarked other and then wrote American, because I was like, you know, after so many hundreds of years and as intermixed as we all are, we should, you know, we're American. Let's get over it and, you know, make this officially a race and move on at this point.
Yeah, fuck it. You know, it'll be a new race. You know, we will prevail.
Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah.
Fuck it. I love it. You know what I actually used to fill in the other section, like just in elementary school on standardized tests? Because my mother instructed me, like, it is... Never, you are never called upon or obligated to identify yourself by your race, Elizabeth. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, log that away. But yeah, no, I would always fill in other and write in Slavic for shits and giggles because I could. I'm like, you know what? There we go. That's good.
I watched a documentary once that I found just hysterical, which was white supremacists getting genetically tested to prove their whiteness. and like
that's gonna hurt some feelings.
Yeah, every single one of them was like, you know, every single one of these white supremacists had black in them, and it was just so funny to watch their face when they'd be like, "And you are 35% African," like you'd be like. You know, look on the guy's face. I was like, yeah, I think we all are. So there
why
you
are
go.
They surprised?
Get
like, look at some of their lifestyles. Like, check some of their credit reports. Like, wow, that was kind of... Because I think we can all picture, like, a stereotypical little, like, white supremacist gangbanger that, you know, we all see on Gangland. And he's not a refined young man. I really don't like to be, you know, represented overly much by that movie. No.
Yeah.
Right on.
I remember on that post I did, the impression of the white man, he said, I always refer to myself as a woman of power.
No, I'm sorry. I'm so serious about that. The capital white identity is, no, that's a myth. I don't wish to participate in it. I am a person of power, yes, P-A-L-L-O, or power, like, if you want to mispronounce it that way, but, like, that's just a mean joke.
Oh, no, yeah, I remember that test you put up, which is, what is white? I was like, oh, that's perfect, because, yeah, that's also the irony, is that white is very undefinable when you start looking into it, especially for many, you know, it's like, what is white technically? You know, it really is not a definable race at the end of the day.
And they keep letting people into the club that they used to not admit. And it is very instructive to see on what basis you get let into the club. Okay, like, let's look at America. Italian Americans are pretty much white folks by now. So are Jewish Americans and Irish Americans and, let's see, Portuguese Americans, Spaniard Americans, if they look right.
Mm-hmm.
They can be white Americans,
yeah.
But these are recent developments, aren't they? So can we admit that whiteness is kind of, it's a social privilege more than it is a real ethnicity?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a Scandinavian motherfucker, then, like, that's, you know, that's your thing. You are definitely a person of great pallor. You are pale as shit, maybe.
Well, yeah, exactly. I've looked into that stuff quite extensively because, like, I am so just terrified of the racism. I don't know. It's a mental thing. And one of the things that I've always found funny about it is that not only is there no admittance that there might be any black blood whatsoever, but more importantly, it, to me, and I'm like, you know, when I read it, I'm like, I think that, like the KKK stuff, I'm always like, I think you're Southern American supremacist, but you want to say that you're white supremacist. You're kind of butthurt over the Civil War. That's okay, I understand.
There are more eloquent ways to express butthurt over the War of Northern Aggression by the female saint. I'm surprised at you. A civil war is between, look, never mind. The secession was legal. We had our own president. His name was Jefferson Davis. That was the War of Northern Aggression.
Well, now, I do agree, and I was reading stuff where they're talking about technically it was illegal because the state should be allowed to secede, and I was like, well, no, I can definitely agree with that, you know, in a way. If we were allowed to, why did all that happen to begin with, you know?
Safe rights is
now,
a dirty word now, and look what it means for marijuana and gay people.
Mm-hmm.
Never
well,
saw that coming.
The thing is, though, and this is like my son, he was explaining to me about him. He said, well, the way that America was founded was simple. The white people came over here and killed all the Indians. I was like,
precisely.
Who told you that? He said, my teacher. I was like, what? Like, wow, you know, that certainly paints, that's actually part of what inspired that, the oppression of the white man post, because I was like, that's just wrong. The white people didn't come over here and kill all the Indians.
What do you mean they
happened.
Didn't come over and kill all the Indians? See, now Satan, please.
Well, I mean,
I'm not
going to
take that tone of voice, but, we weren't as bad as the Spanish. We were never as bad as the Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I mean, we didn't kill all of the Indians, and we did bring over Africans in bondage because, like, the Indians kept running away when you tried to enslave them. It was such bullshit because they actually knew the terrain, and, you know, Africans had been exposed to our diseases. Like, that worked out for a while. It sucks.
Well, now, my whole family history when it comes to, and I have a lot of, like, I'm technically a registered Cherokee and all this stuff, but, like, I would research my family, and, like, the first thing they said was, there's no money. There's no retribution money or whatever it's called. And I was like, well, I don't care about that. I was just trying to find them. When I found out that my family roughly, like, my family's saying is housed or tent. They completely defected to the colonial side during the whole thing.
And look, honey, you survived.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I'm funny. I was like, I think my ancestors were kind of smart. They saw the writing on the walls, but I certainly think that, you know, I'm pretty sure that most of the Cherokees are like, well, those people are traitors, you know.
It happens, but you know what? I'm sure that they did it in some sense so that their future descendants could have a more comfortable lifestyle. And I find that so hard to just hate on. I have Hebrew ancestors that did the same thing. They're like, no,
well,
ghetto, fuck no, we're Catholic now.
Well, see, and that's the thing is that I actually went down to see them, and it was really funny because I had, you know, I really thought that I was, I don't know, going to a reservation, and, you know, there was going to be, you know, like, a bunch of, like, Native, you know, Indian stuff going on, and I went to Mass. That's my family heritage on that side, is that they're all Catholic, and I mean hardcore, too. I was like, this is really disappointing. I really had a whole different image in my head here, you know, reservations and teepees and, like, this whole thing, and I was like, no, we defected. We joined the side of the colonials, and we're very satisfied that we did that. I was like, okay.
Well, at least they weren't Anglican. Like, come on. That would have really been joining the side of the colonials. Like, if you'd gone and seen, like, and they were all Lutheran or, you know, Methodist.
Yeah. It just struck me as so funny, though, because that's like barbecues and Catholic Mass. Because I was really, I don't know, in my head when I went to visit this side of my family, I was really expecting a lot more than I thought. I was like, man, all my Cherokee friends are being killed here in about 5 seconds. Someone's like, we're descended from a long line of Native American shamans. No, we're descended from a long line of Native American traders.
Actually, now hold on. I'm going to have to step in. I will contest that there are many practicing shamans alive today among, like, all kinds of communities that are simply nominal Catholics.
Yeah.
They're just simply nominal Catholics. But if you look at what they do, like how they actually put their Catholicism into practice, I wouldn't call it doctrinal. It looks like some funky hoodoo, like, goddamn necromantic ancestor worship shit to me. And they employ some idolatrous imagery, in my opinion. But
Well, I don't know. I've always kind of felt that way about Catholicism in general. Like, about the time that people start lighting candles to saints, I'm like, are you kind of like, you know, I don't know, witchy or Wiccan or New Agey somehow? Like, you're praying to saints. I don't know. That always
they're old school is what they are. They're old school, and, like, the Catholic Church is giant. It's like it's absorbed so many cultures. Like Saint Briad, like the female patron saint of Ireland, seems to have been a completely ahistorical figure.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Benedict
finally had the balls to be like, that wasn't a person and she's out of the canon. Like, I'm sick of this shit. Like, Irish people, you can't just sneak in your favorite goddess and pretend she was a nun and tell us lies for what amounts to kind of, like, almost, over 1,000 years maybe at this point. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
She finally got kicked out, but I don't know of any congregations that have changed the name of their church building. I don't know of anybody that's, like, you know, not been St. Briad's anymore because of that. And, hey, that's weird.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, like, I was actually quite fascinated with her, and I started doing research, and she's definitely an earth goddess and definitely a mother goddess, and it's, you know.
And a fire goddess, I mean, and an ice goddess, and a sound goddess. Briad is big. Briad is, the Briad is very, very big. She is a trinity, a trinity, not just a triple goddess. She herself is a trinity. That's crazy.
Well, yeah, and it's one of the things that's funny about the Catholic Church in general is that it's got so much ancient paganism laced within it is that, you know, sometimes if you want to find the more historical versions, that's actually where to look at, because you start looking, like, St. Walpurgis is a great example of that, too. Like, I mean, like, the whole thing's kind of a fear, but, you know, it starts becoming quite evident when you start looking at it that, you know, like, this is not, you know, some happy-go-lucky saint. This is a whole other thing going on that's been painted with that real quick so that, you know, we can all smile and still do what we're doing. But technically, we're Catholic. Technically, we're Christian.
Now, you grew up in a Protestant household, so you're looking at this from the outside as a researcher.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
I'm sorry. I must forgive. Like, yeah, no. Yeah, if you didn't grow up around that creepy shit, then, like, it can only look irredeemably retarded from the outside, and it is irredeemably retarded in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well,
but, yeah, I forgive you for like, you know, anything. Yeah, no, if I got parochial on you, like, shit, it's not like I'm Catholic.
Well, I mean, like, but you my upbringing was so weird because my father decided to combine the Levian paradigm with Christianity and stir that, you know, like, my concepts of Christianity are so skewed. I mean, it's very, very, very weird, like, my approach to it. And it always has been because it's how I was raised. Like, oh, somebody correct me, I'd be like, oh, thank you, I didn't know that.
Oh, no, whatever. Like, you know, it's not... What one individual, what one organization could claim to be right about the Jesus thing? Like, real, like, come on. Even from an academic perspective, it's just, it's messy. So, like, no, don't feel bad. No, nobody knows who the fuck Jesus was. Like, just get in. You're probably just as crazy as anybody else.
Well, and I don't feel bad. I find it funny because my father was like, this is, and I realize now, like, what he did, like, looking back on it, but, like, you're supposed to be like Christ. Like, that's such a common Christian phrase, but for my father, that literally meant that you should be God incarnate on earth. Okay?
Oh, well, and I mean...
Yeah, and then when
there
you
are some confusing verses that are all highlighted in red.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, and the thing is too, that what I found funny is that when I read when I actually read the TSB, I was like, oh, you know, when he gave it to me, I was like, oh, well, duh, that makes sense, you know. But I wish you could explain that to me under a different thing, because, like, I try to tell people, I think you're wrong, because... you're supposed to be a God incarnate on earth. That's what Jesus said, and people always look at me like I'm crazy, you know?
I mean, why do cults always apologize for the behavior of their prophets? I mean, think about it. They always have to explain that shit away. You know, why did Jesus behave, you know, so much like just a drunken bum? Because, no, I'm serious. Read the Gospels. Man just shows up, and if there's not wine already, it's like, oh, no, it's cool, I got that. Or, no, I'm thinking of the water into wine thing. Dude, everyone was already drunk, actually. If you read that story, everyone was already drunk, and the water that got turned into it was actually for ritually washing your hands to get bad juju off of it, and Jesus shows up, and he's like, you know what? Bam, more booze. Fuck it. Who's getting married? I'm God.
Right,
oh, I'm so glad Beast is still there.
I'm here. I'm chuckling. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure everyone was clear. That's what the actual story says about, like, the wine thing.
Yeah, no, my husband went through that one day, and he actually had me laughing hysterically because he said, I think he hypnotized them. I said, what? He said, I don't think he turned water into wine. I think they were all drunk. And he said, hey, the water is wine. And they were all like, yeah, it tastes good. I was like, so you actually think that Jesus' whole miracle there was to, like, what, give a bunch of drunks some water? He was like, yep, I do. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes about as much sense as anything else I've ever read. But that was so funny because, like, I think he hypnotized them. That's my conclusion.
He just made everyone so convivial and happy that they thought they were drinking wine and they were drinking water. Well, I guess that's an easy, nice, metaphorical, poetic way out of it. But I like the version where Jesus is just God and he shows up and he's like, bam, it's wine now.
Yeah. Well,
your version is better to tell to children, I think, though.
Well, he went through this whole thing where, like, oh, no, it's all hypnotism. I can figure it out. Fishes and loaves. Yeah, he had this whole thing going on one night where he's like...
It's so cute when they try to find a rational way to explain the contents of that book. It's so cute.
Yeah, and I like Tim's approach there where he comes out as primarily metaphorical. I like that quite a bit. Which, I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of Tim's hardcore. I admit that. So, you know, yeah. But part of the reason why I think also I have to do with my dad is that, you know, Tim kind of hits me in the same way that my dad does. And that, you know, I've asked my dad recently, I was like, how did you resolve the two? And they just fit together in my head. Like, okay, you know, that's completely unique. I told him, I said, why don't you go write a book about what you did? Because, like, I have so many people that are interested in your whole interpretation of this thing, and you never say a word, you know? Like, how do you
get a little tape recorder and just get him to babble and then, like, hand him the transcript and be like, hey, can we work on this? Because people shy away from, like, I'm sorry, I'm done. But I actually think that's the best way to just, like, you know, get it rolling if you think he's reluctant. Just, like, trick him into it and then show him a bunch of words.
Well, and he's always been so reluctant about it. Like, I can remember when I learned about evolution in school, and my mother went through this, because she's a bit of an odd character, she went through this, like, creationism speech with me, like, you shouldn't learn that, and it's evil, it's of the devil, and I'm like, I'm conflicted, and I want to learn about it, and my dad says, why couldn't God have used evolution to create humanity?
I have cousins that are not allowed to watch certain educational programming because it conflicts with their parents, like crazy young earth creationists. They're the bad kinds. They're like, it wasn't just created by God. The earth is between 6,000 and like 9,000 years old. Like, Christian scientists are exploring many different ways of, like, figuring out the gap, but, like, look, fuck you.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing that my dad said, God could use evolution to create all of it. And I was like, okay, because I can remember when I was a kid, like, it says that he created the earth in 7 days. He was like, what's a day to God? And I remember it because I was like, okay, I can learn this, no problem. Now I figure it out later, and he actually is atheist. He adopted that because of the satanic panic primarily to kind of, I don't know, make what his views were acceptable, you know, especially in the South during the 80s and stuff when all that craziness was going on. And, like, I've talked to him about it now, and I do get it now, but, I mean, like, when I was a kid, I was utterly confused, and I still am in a way because, like, you know, some of his explanations for stuff made us, you know, like, trying to discuss theology with anybody is just really, really alien. Like, I was trying to explain something to my mother-in-law one day, and she was like, the Christian crusades are not proof that mine is right. I was like, but they absolutely are. They, like, killed people just to prove that Christianity was superior to anything else. And she was like, that doesn't even make
that,
sense. And I was like,
that position would have been very, you know... Nobody would have criticized you for that position if among Christian people until very recently. Like, that was standard. Like, you know, we won the Crusades, hurrah for Christendom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. And that's the thing, is that, like, my dad always kind of filtered things through that. I'm always very curious. Like, I mean, like,
something fast, man.
It's Jones, man.
Like,
what's going on?
Well, like, when my father told me he opened an account at Spin, I was like, oh, he's going to start posting his stuff and it'll be badass. No, he just watches to see what's going on. Which, then I figured out, okay, he's just watching his daughter. You shouldn't say it. I was like, oh, that's great. So I'm like, are you going to post some stuff about what she's saying? No. Why are you there? You know?
Let him watch. I go through phases like that, never very long, but.
Well, yeah, and he's a, you know, and he's actually, the one thing that's been cool about my dad is that he's actually, and he told me that, he said, I actually really like the way that community's going. He said, I'm very excited about a lot of the voices I hear and, you know, the people that are posting now. He said, I really think that this whole thing's going further than, you know, Anton LaVey ever planned. And I was like, oh, well, that's cool. Or, like, he'll send me an email and say, hey, I liked your blog about blank. And I'm like, well, thanks, Dad. It's still kind of weird.
Oh, that's
know.
Wonderful. But, you know, you're right. I think that is the strongest thing. That is Ben's strongest suit. That's the best thing about that network, is that its presence makes it difficult for you to have any kind of strong, reasonably defensible opinion. In that, you know, vein, and not poke your head in a little bit, at least for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, yeah, exactly.
That's how the magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's so many different voices, too, you know, out there telling exactly what they think about stuff. That's one of the things that I really have always appreciated about Finn, is that it is a kind of, I think Zach created a lot of way into it, because he said this is supposed to replace those organizations, and I think it is really decisively at this point, you know, is that it's starting to give them a run for their money, because you have so many people that are taking different approaches to this idea, and they're kind of mixing together. And I posted that one time, that I kind of view these websites like living TSBs, for lack of a better term, that, you know, if you look at the overall, you can start to get a real kind of handle on what exactly the satanic community thinks about things and where exactly this is going.
You mentioned a living book. I like that, because we view, like, words on the internet in, like, tiny little chopped up bits, but they are part of, like, a giant living document. It's all part of one stream of communication. This is getting very abstract. And it's 12:33 a.m. where I am. Is the Ooze still on the air? Are we still in time?
You guys are still alive, yeah.
Oh, dear.
I've been extending
And that's one of the things that I actually enjoy about Finn. It's why I've always posted as much as I have, and I've always been such a big supporter of that network. And the Ooze and other things, because I think that if Satanism as a community is going to go anywhere, it's going to have to be really, you know, kind of, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be individual, but there is kind of a cohesive undercurrent that's starting to occur within it, is that there's commonalities and similarities in pretty much all the posters at a place like Sin.
Well, I'd like
to.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
But I would disagree with, like, two or three things you just said. Okay, when you talk about, like, the undercurrent developing, like, I Zach's a visionary, of course, but what he did was not build the undercurrent up that wasn't there before. What I say he did was strike the vein.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it started bubbling up organically, and the best thing about it, like, I don't like the word satanic community. what I do, what I am a supporter of, is a literary tradition, in a literary and artistic tradition in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when, you know, poems are written or songs are being sung in praise of the devil, and I think, you know, when essayists are advocating on behalf of the devil, it's kind of like pornography. You don't have to define it, because it's just, it should be pretty instantly recognizable, no?
Oh, yeah, no, I would agree with
that's
you.
That's just my opinion, but I just think that's, I don't know, I think that's the strongest way to talk about it and pull the most shit in that's relevant and do something very cohesive and motivating with it. But that's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, and I think that he's definitely changed the face of it, and that, you know, and I've looked at some of the other networks, and, you know, they're very... They have a hierarchy that's inherent, and Sims never really possessed that, which I really like, is that kind of stratification sort of plays out, and then, you know, you have people that post, and I mean, like, I almost feel bad for them, because, like, they post their first post, and they get ripped apart, and, like, they disappear, and I'm like, oh, you poor thing, you know, you should have stayed around for 5 minutes.
No, there's, as you just said, there's other networks for them, are there not?
Oh, yeah, they can always go to, And, like, that, like my Satan is a whole different animal. Now, I do post over there, and I do like it over there, but, yeah, it's a whole lot nicer and a whole lot freer. I mean, it's like, you know, there's this level of, you know, anything goes there, you know, which in a way I like, because I do like diversity, and I do like talking to, you know, Luciferians and KOS, like different types that run around the LHP, because...
I'm a Luciferian.
It's fascinating. Yeah. Yeah, I know. and that's the thing, is that, you know, you see them, and, you know, they'll kind of they'll fade away pretty fast at soon, but they're at other networks. So I do always like that, because, like, you know, I always read their stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, that's a totally different approach to the LHC, but I can dig on that. That's kind of cool, you know, and I do like that, you know. But, like, yeah, no, my, and, like, my Satan, yeah, no, I post with a much, much, much lighter touch. Like, I just, like there, you kind of ignore things that you don't like rather than coming in and being like, what are you doing? You know? I different. Yeah, like, you don't do that there. It's absolutely, you know, kind of unheard of there. And it happens on occasion, but, you know, and Dan's always over there, you know, kicking Vendor, which is, kind of funny in its own right. You know?
I think it's okay. I don't know. I don't think we have to actively compete with places like My Satan or, dare I say, the 600 Club or whatever, because sin is its own distinct organism, and it does something,
yep,
you know, unique and cool, I think, and those other ones do their thing. And we'll see how it all plays out, shall we not?
Yeah. Oh, no, I would certainly agree, is that competitiveness with between the networks is a little silly, because they've all kind of got their own vibe and feel, and, you know, like, it feels different when I log into a different, some of these different sites. It's a whole different animal, and I know it, you know, so I'm like, all right, you know, but, and I do like Sin, and I have since, you know, I first signed up, and part of what I like about it, too, quite honestly, is that it gets a little silly sometimes, or, you know, it'll even get a little dramatic. But, I mean, that stuff always calms over at the end of the day. But, yeah,
we're internally,
you know,
competitive. That's better.
Yeah.
It's better, trust me.
And that's something that I've always enjoyed about Sin, is that, you know, there's I think I've laughed more at Sin than I have, like, ever posting anywhere else, and just, like, the amount of humor there is relatively large in comparison to these other networks. I definitely think that he's hit something there.
Right on. Oh, I mean, honestly, I don't think that things could have developed in any other way. So as far as I see, it's just the current continuing to take shape. Not one man's idea that really made any big difference, but what we as a collective, I think, have all been pushing towards in one way or the other.
That's what makes it as a phenomenon like really fascinating to me, because it's a center of activity. What makes it fascinating are like the eddies and whirlpools that happen around that. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Precisely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what makes it cool is that it just can't stop spinning around. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Right.
Well,
on.
Yeah, and like it'll get slow and then it'll pick right back up again. You know, like I mean, like I've looked and it's like, oh, it's slow here today. You know, and then I'll go on and do something else. But you know, there's eventually something picks up, and there's always kind of trends that flow through spin that I find interesting too. It always seems like there's kind of a topic of the moment that's going on, you know, and it's kind of everywhere, and then it kind of fades away and a new topic replaces it, you know, for the moment. And no, I would certainly agree that, yeah, Zach's kind of assembled the collective, you know, he's kind of gotten a collective together that's kind of put a voice out, because, you know, he's managed to do something unique. I mean, and I think that I was telling somebody in Tiny Chat the other day, I was like, Zach caught lightning in a bottle, and I don't think he really meant to do it. I don't even think he realized he had a bottle in his hand. He just happened to do it.
Oh, no, I don't think he could have predicted exactly. No, when was that? That was almost, you know, that was how long ago? Oh.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to me. I was around when Eric Schutz was starting up MySate, and I was probably one of the first dozen people. The idea that him and Zach both put forward is no different in the beginning. So it's interesting to see how they've taken shape. What a lot of it has to do with is the actual characteristics of the particular founder, so to speak. Eric Schutz was a little more organized, a little easier in terms of annoyance. He was very socially conscious and wanted to be PC to a certain point. And, well, we know Zach's just none of those things, so.
Oh, yeah, that's certainly true. He's yeah. Yeah, but I think it works because of that. I mean, like, you know, when I first signed up, I had no idea what I was getting into. And I was relatively surprised that I was actually received fairly well. When I signed up, I expected to be received poorly, and I was really surprised as well as I was received. And then I've continued to be pretty much throughout the whole process. That's been a very I don't know. It's made me happy. I've always been very happy to be, you know, one of a member of SIN, you know. And I've always told Zach, you know, I'll always support this network. I'm very, very thrilled with what you did, because I was terrified to post it like 600 Club, like when I was looking around, like. I saw them a lot. They came up on my internet searches, but I was like, oh, I'll never post there. They're scary. But, you know, like, not only now, and I'll be honest, Sin never came up, but I wasn't really afraid to post, you know. And then I got ripped apart a few times, but I kind of came back and said, hey, yeah, all right, I get your point. And it worked out, and that's one of the things that I've always really appreciated about it for me personally, is that, you know, I was brand new. I didn't have any establishment within the community, and I was relatively accepted, which is unusual for a lot of these places that kind of have a built-in hierarchy established.
Right on. Well, I think the fact that's interesting to me about the whole deal is, given Zach's personality and how things have shaped, I think it speaks a great deal about that common resonance that Betty was referring to just a short time ago, that there is a tie that binds, and I think that tie that binds is very obvious when you actually stop and take a look at the entirety of the animal that's there at SIN, because SIN is probably one of the least policed by administration or moderators forms out there. Even MySatan, in my opinion, has a heavier level of policing going on. And because of that, what you're actually seeing is the...
What we do have is volunteer quality control, and that's better than a police force every time.
Exactly, and that's the point of it, is we see the actual quality that is being put out there. We see the characteristics of the people who are posting instead of trying to meet some fancy guideline. I thought it was interesting when I put this all in association to a blog post I read today, written actually by you, Female Satan. Honor.
Oh, yes.
The blog post.
Yeah.
I almost chimed in, but it would have taken me, like, I don't know, a book to explain what I wanted to say in text and actually have it make sense. So I'm hoping I can and cut that up in the next 14 minutes and maybe put it out there. But the thing about it is that common resonance that is there seems to actually be this sense of honor. At least how I define honor. I see honor as a consistency of action with self. I think that it's a pride in that consistency.
It's a perfect balance between integrity and humility. Now, I want to use humility in a very specific way. And so humility is being able to give an accurate assessment of your own personality and capabilities, and act in accordance with the responsibility you find yourself in because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's humility. And that may sound like a dirty word for left-hand path people, but aren't we supposed to be, like, clever and sly and tricky? So, like, we should practice self-examination. We don't have to call it a moral inventory, but we should know ourselves better than anyone else could, shouldn't we?
Oh, I would certainly agree, and I think it's very, very, at least for me, I mean, like, and my last two blogs have been very kind of apologetic to some of my actions in the past, but I feel like I have to look in the past before I move forward, and I'm starting to move forward now, so that's what my last two blogs have been about, is kind of looking at what I've done before. And yeah, it's very, very difficult to look at yourself and really be honest, because sometimes the picture is not what you would want to be. Like, you may fancy yourself one way and find out, no, you've been completely different. And you're, I'm like that blog. I was like, in the past especially, I've done things, it's like my respect post. I've used that as a satanic version of my life. That's not good. That's bad, and I know it. And, I'm trying to correct those things now.
Let me, I just want to kind of offer a challenge to you. I've always been a fan of your introspection, especially when it comes to, like, past reflection. I think you do a really excellent job accurately chopping up what the things that you've done in the past and assigning a good value to them. But the challenge I want to offer is to turn that lens from things that have recently just passed or things that you've done in the distant past. Instead, turn that lens to the here and now. Use that same kind of process that you do in everything that you are doing or will do. And I think that when you do that, you're going to unlock probably the greatest thing that you'll ever find out about yourself, and that is who you really are.
You won't forget what you were. You won't forget anything about your past.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no, I would certainly.
Yeah, that's a vague promise. I'm not sure.
And I would certainly agree. And my whole goal, and it's been one of my biggest flaws, I think, is that I view myself as very ineffectual and small on the overall, and I always have, and I'm starting to determine that that's a bit of a lack of self-confidence more than that kind of humble sort of attitude that I have. Like, I'm starting to realize, like, you might not be as small as you think you are. You might not be as insignificant as you think you are.
That's a lie all small people are told. I don't mean to cut you off, but that's just a lie all small people are told, that they're just automatically less powerful because they're small. Excuse me, we have technology now.
Yeah. Well,
small
and,
people can
no,
do damage.
And
so on.
Well, and well, no, and my whole thing has always been to try to avoid that kind of pretentious attitude I see sometimes. But I've realized that my biggest issue actually is that I don't view I view myself as less. It's not that I view myself as too much, it's that I view myself as less than I am. And that at some point I'm going to have to really take a really good stock and realize that I might not just be some, you know, newbie newcomer anymore at this point, you know, and that I definitely think that I need to go form my own, you know, I need to get to where the point where I'm sort of creating my own vector like Beast has done and Dan and others have done at some point. I'm going to have to pick that up and embrace that. And I worry, you know, about the kind of, and like Beast is a great example of what I'm talking about, of kind of meeting that, you know, being a leader with, you know, a level of humility that I like, you know, and I don't want to be the next, you know, like Paul Valentine or one of those other ones where like, I'm so great. I don't want to do that. But, and, you know, I do worry about that. And that, I think, has been my biggest problem is that I view myself as really small when I'm having more of an effect than I am, than I realize I am.
You know, it's funny because just taking the past two sentences that you put out there, that is precisely how I would define having honor. When you have that consistency of self, that you know where you are in the actual hierarchy of things, or not hierarchy of things, but on whatever levels there are to play on, you know which level you set on. That gives you the most strength. You know, I don't necessarily consider myself to be a humble person. I just I have a sense of consistency with my own personal beliefs. I can't look at other people and say, oh, that dude's, you know, super egotistical, what an idiot, if I'm doing the same thing myself. It just doesn't rest well with me. So, you know, the criticisms that I offer other people, I make myself pass through, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've noticed that about you. That's why I've always been a big fan of your work, actually. I mean, you
volunteer
know,
quality control.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is that it was actually running into Venus actually made me kind of go, okay, I don't want to, you know, decide that I'm, you know, the queen of Satanism, so to speak, and have basically no original thoughts to say or be too wishy-washy, so to speak. And that's always been my biggest fear is that I'm going to, you know, become one of those kind of people. And those are the kind of people I really dislike on the left-hand path, you know, people that have decided there's some kind of, you know, great messiah or whatever. So I've always tried to mediate that with this. And there's a difference between humility and actually just completely discounting yourself and thinking you're too low. And
well,
I think
once you know about yourself that you don't want to be that person, that kind of person,
mm-hmm.
if you're still trying to move forward, then, I mean, the best thing to do is probably just to ignore them, pretend they don't exist, and do... You continue doing your thing because you already know it's not your intention to do that. So, like, you know, what would you, why distract yourself obsessing with everything that's wrong about them? I don't know. That may sound wishy-washy. But if you already know have that good anxiety not to be that way, then don't you're a little bit good in that way. You know, you can kind of not worry about it for a while. You know, just do stuff. See how it goes. Take some risks.
All right, ladies, before this drags out too far, and I know female Satan, I'm cutting you off, but we got about 6 minutes left, and I cannot extend this any further.
Yeah, it's
so
ridiculous.
With those things actually kind of there in, at this point, we do have this next week. If you guys want to do another show and maybe tackle this topic alone, I think it would be an interesting listen.
What was the topic? Yeah, we'll figure that out. Sure, maybe. I'll see what my work schedule looks like.
Right. I know your work schedule is usually ridiculous, but remember, we have a 24-hour availability, so.
All right.
But anyway, yeah, this next week I'd still like to see both you ladies on at least a little 15-minute segment somewhere so I can, you know, say a more proper thank you and give people a chance to call in or whatever. Female Satan, I've got your picture. Betty, I'm still waiting on yours. And then the last one's Jason.
I'm dealing with that right now.
Right. And the last one's Jason King, and we're good to go. So.
Oh, no, I'm not going to turn mine in after Jason King. Okay, whatever.
Right on. So, anyway, with all that being said, to keep this from actually running into, like, even further archive, I'm just going to go ahead and kill the show. Thanks, guys. It's been great.
Fuck yeah. All
right.
Hail Satan.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Peace.
All right.
Bye, babe.
Bye. All right, and if I can find the damn outros button. There we go.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dad Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?